Welcome to the Tweet Trends Podcast. Hey, Yvette, what's trending today?
Hey, I'm Yvette.
Hey, girl.
And you are tuned into Tweet Trends. It's the quickest way to find out what's trending today. Have you seen the Barbie movie? Let's get started. Hey there, welcome back to Tweet Trends. My apologies, I took a whole week off and did not even let you know. But I'm back now, and while I was gone, guess what I did? I went and saw the Barbie movie with my family. And I want to talk about it because honestly, I was not planning. It was not on my radar. The wild thing is, my husband is the one who brought it up and said, hey, do you want to go see this? So guess who I've got in the booth with me today?
Hello, Tweet Trends family.
I've got Hubbins with me.
Hi, Sunshine. How are you?
I'm great. So I want to start this episode kind of digging into why you thought it was a good idea or even an idea at all to go see the Barbie movie.
Okay, well, I will start by saying that a couple of the radio shows that I generally listen to on Sirius XM 126 Urban View, there were conversations that they had about it. And before I listened to those shows, I figured that I would go see it. But I would go see it to take you and Brie, and I would just be a tag along and
fall asleep in the theater.
We would no. We would make it do what it do. I get in there and laugh at a few things and like, oh, that's clever, and keep it moving. And so one of the interviews that intrigued me was as they talked about how powerful the story was. And they didn't really give any spoilers, so that was good. And it was hard for me to comprehend how powerful a Barbie story was. But they said that it was nothing like what they expected and that they were going to go see it again. And for the people that I was listening to say that, I'm like, okay, there must be something about this movie that's moving people to go see it at the theater.
Okay, so I hear you with that, but I know the two hosts that you're speaking of that you were listening to, and both of them are females. So I know one of them said, like, she didn't grow up with Barbies. Like, she had Barbie's friend Christy, but she didn't actually have a Barbie.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure you didn't have Barbies either.
I did not have Barbies. I don't know that many of the girls in our neighborhood did. They may have, but that's not really something that they brought outside to play with. But I'm sure they did. And I can't think of any of my cousins that may have had them either. So it is likely that they did, but I don't recall a lot of Barbie stuff being around.
Well, you know, so when I saw the trailer for it, there was nothing in it that moved me that said, you know, I thought it was just going to be some little silly movie with some type of a storyline that I couldn't even begin to fathom what this movie could have been about. But because it wasn't a cartoon, there was no type of animation included. Right. I didn't think that it was like a kiddie type Barbie movie. And so, yeah, that's why I at no point had even considered going until you said, hey, what are you doing? Let's go to the movies.
So I don't think I saw any of the trailers, but I did see a tweet where Issa Rae was in the movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, if she's in the movie, there has to be some substance. Like, I don't know this lady, but the work of hers that I've seen and just some of the other projects she's been on, I couldn't see her just going into a project just to collect a check and put her name to it. So I'm like, there must be something about this that caused her to do that. And then, as we mentioned before with the host discussion, so that those things intrigued me to say, okay, I can go in here, be objective, see what this movie's about, and, you know, come up with my own opinions.
Well, but Issa's a comedian, so you don't think you could see her being in some type of a movie where it's more comedy than anything serious?
She's a comedian. However, she has, in some of the work that we saw, touched some serious topics and has some dramatic moments. You know, and so I think her range lends her to have a silly side when she needs to, but to also be able to draw on a composed, serious, get to the point side.
Okay. Point taken. Okay, before we get to the meat and potatoes of the movie, like the message in it and everything, because I definitely want to get to that.
Right.
I want to break this down Siskel and Ebert style and talk about the movie, what we liked, what we didn't like, that sort of thing. But, and although, you know, I'm probably never, no, let me not say that. Some movies we go on opening night type thing. But for the most part, we don't. So I'm thinking right now that most people that wanted to see the movie have already seen it. Right. But please understand, there will be spoilers in this section and the next.
We don't have to do spoilers, do we? I mean, we can talk about some things, and you know, you might intrigue some people to go, and we don't want to necessarily ruin it for them. Or I guess if you say we get into the meat and potatoes, then y'all prepare to be spoiled, y'all.
I know the things that I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the movie.
Okay.
And the things that I saw. And I don't know that I know how to talk around it.
Right. You the boss.
I'll follow your lead.
Oh, gosh.
How do you talk around the things that you liked about the movie?
Well, sort of like I got out of that interview, right, is this, that the color and the visualization of it was as if it was a playset. It was as if it was something that was for kids. However, it wasn't animation or CGI per se. It was, you know, real sets with vibrant colors. I think the way they utilized the doll format or the toy format of, you had to make believe that you had certain elements, so food or drink or something like that. The toys didn't actually consume anything until later with the little
baby alive.
Baby, yeah, stuff like that. But, you know, just kind of how they represented that was very toy-esque, and I thought it was really well.
I agree. They did do a really good job at sticking to the idea that these are toys.
Right. Well, and even kind of jumping to the end, I know we're going to talk about the message, but like in the credits, right, it wasn't like President Barbie, actor Barbie, chef Barbie, actress Barbie. It was Barbie.
Barbie.
Like that to me, I mean, that was clever. Like, I chuckled at that out loud. It's like, and all the Kens, same thing. They were a Ken. So if you were looking to see which actor or actress was a Ken or a Barbie, you have to find it some other way, because it was just Ken, right? It wasn't anything that said, you know, Ken with the blue shirt, Ken with the red shirt.
Now, there were a couple that got their own specific
sugar yeah. daddy.
You okay. weren't supposed to say it.
Oh, my bad.
I just said sugar.
Sugar.
Sugar's father.
Boo.
No, that's what they said. The dog's name was Sugar, and he was Sugar's daddy.
True. True.
Okay. Okay, so that one got away from us.
Yep. Spoiler one.
But the... I completely forgot what I was about to say.
I'll mention the writing, like the dialogue. So The dialogue, the writing, I think was definitely not for. So our 10-year-old, I don't think she caught half of the stuff that was being said. Partly because I don't think she was intrigued to go see it. But I definitely think the writing was for, you know, people who actually played with dolls, and specifically Barbies, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I think it was written for them to get a lot of the context and the humor.
I definitely agree with that. That wasn't what I was going to go to, but for sure, I think it would have been way better had I gone there with a bunch of adults, a group of girlfriends, that sort of thing. Taking my 10-year-old, it was kind of like asking her afterwards, like, so what did you think? And it was like, it was okay. It was good. And I'm like, yeah, you didn't like it. I think she was more intrigued with the ice cube that she had in her drink than anything in.
It was a light up ice cube.
Special ice cube.
She's not that basic.
But yeah.
So you have the display, you have the dialogue, you have the story, right? And so the story of how you get into in and out of a Barbie movie. So this wasn't a Barbie TV show or a Barbie 1-hour special that came on NBC or CBS or other major networks. This is a movie. And they were like, hey, we're going to Hollywood with this stuff, and we're going to shoot enough stuff that we're going to edit and leave some things out, and you are going to enjoy yourself. So to have that in mind and then to deliver on that, like, I enjoyed myself at the movie. I thought it was a good show.
Same here. And that's what I was going to say. I found myself chuckling throughout the movie. Like, it was things that were said, things that were done, and in a way, I almost felt like I needed to stop laughing because I couldn't tell if other people were laughing. Because it wasn't a roar of laughter in there at any given time. Maybe a couple times where it was a big group laugh. Mm-hmm. But I think, one, because there were a lot of little girls in there, they weren't getting the jokes. Right. And I don't know if the mamas and the daddies that were in there, if they were going to laugh or not, then be questioned, why did you laugh? What was funny about that?
Well, I think they may not have reacted because, again, some stuff was a lot of double entendres. And then depending on how you took what was said, like you said, they may not have wanted to answer why they found that so funny. Like, even for me, when they first started talking about having a beach off, and it's like, I'll beat you off. And it's like, I did all I could to not chuckle through that piece. But, you know, it's like, what kind of movie is this? What are they saying? So, but they quickly took it to a kid toy level because of the background and the scene and everything associated with that part of it.
Now it's time for the meat and potatoes.
Main course.
Yes. So I really liked this movie. I didn't think that I was going to like it to the point where when we talked about it, we were kind of saying that, you know, this one is a keeper. This one is one that you buy and put in the rotation.
Right. So although our 10-year-old did not have an outward appreciation for it like she has with other movies, like, I can go to her right now and sing Peaches, 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 Peaches. And she's going to go right in the Super Mario movie and start just going.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, with this movie here, there didn't seem anything that she gravitated towards. And that's just the way it is, and that's fine. What I really appreciated about this movie was the overall message that it has, right? So I'm here with my lovely wife. You know, we got our 28-year-old daughter, we got our 10-year-old daughter, and just, you know, a family of different skill sets of women. And I think the overall message that they displayed in this movie was a great message. It's a powerful one. And mm-hmm. it goes with a lot of the things that's happening in our country today, both fortunate and unfortunate. Some of the rights that are being taken away, but then some other people being empowered and emboldened by those very actions to actually come out of their comfort zones and to take steps that they may not have taken before. And so that part I really enjoyed.
Well, and you know, I can't even lie. America Ferrera, she had me in there bawling, mm-hmm. but it was the quiet cry. It was the ugly cry, but it was a quiet one because I was like, I must be the only person in here crying right now. But when, and even, let me back all the way up to the very beginning of the movie, even the opening scenes of the movie were powerful mm-hmm. because it broke it down in a way that I was like, you know, I never thought about the fact that when you play with baby dolls, all you can really do is pretend to be the mama or the sister or the auntie or, you know, all the female roles of taking care of somebody. Whereas when Barbie came along and then she started getting all of these jobs, you know, you didn't have to be the mama. You could be the businesswoman. You could be the teacher. You could be the mom.
The doctor.
The doctor. The all lawyer. Of those things. Right. Yeah.
Right. And so I think, you know, as we've seen, you know, since Sandra Day O'Connor being the first woman on the Supreme Court to now Ketanji Brown Jackson being the first African-American on the Supreme Court, Justice Sotomayor was the first Latinx woman on the Supreme Court. So when you start having the Supreme Court look more like the country, that's good representation. And so in that movie, they were showing us representations that we probably did not actively consider before.
So, but you know, one thing they didn't consider?
What's that?
And you heard it here first on Tweet Trends.
Uh-oh.
Where is Bishop Barbie? Where is Evangelist Barbie?
They were probably trying to keep it, you know, in a certain realm without having to alienate any specific crowd. So.
Well, but you know, I say that though because this movie took us to church. It showed us both sides of the coin.
Right.
In Barbie land, somebody had to ask Barbie the question, so where does Ken live? And she was like, you know, I really don't know. And everything in Barbie land was female facing, whereas when they came to the real world, everything was male facing. When she went to the Mattel
corporation
and is like, well, let me talk to
somebody in charge. Well, I'm the CEO. Okay, well, let me talk to the COO, the chief operating officer. Well, that's me. Let me talk to the CFO, the chief financial officer. Well, that's me. It's like, okay, who's the woman over you guys? Like, it rocked her world that there was not a woman that she could go speak to. And that's a crazy comparison to how it is in our world today, where there's some men who go into a place and there's a woman standing there in charge and they cannot conceive the fact or cannot receive the fact that that person is telling you they're in charge. And it's kind of like, yeah, uh-huh, but where's the guy, right? Where's the guy that tells you what to do?
Like, all right. Well, Ken did that at the hospital.
Right.
And so that... And there was a lot of other little things, like the fact that all of the men in the boardroom were dressed exactly the same.
Right.
And the fact that the Barbies, they were confident.
Correct.
When they were winning these awards, they weren't sitting there like, oh, no, not me. I don't deserve this. They were like, yep, I did this and I deserve it. And it was like, wow, okay, go Barbie.
Well, and so, again, for me to want to see that type of confidence, that type of deliberate walk, you know, in you and in areas that I may have thought that you had confidence in, later in life revealed that maybe not so much. In our older daughter, who, you know, with Tiff is kind of like a, all right, Tiffany's got this, but there's things that she's found challenging more so. And so as a dad, right, you think back to when, sadly, when Kobe and his oldest daughter, or when his daughter transitioned after that helicopter accident, mm-hmm. and everybody was like, you know, girl dad, and that became a thing at that moment. And, you know, it's one of those things that you want your daughter to have an opportunity to do whatever she wants to do. And that movie kind of laid it out like, hey, these women are doing whatever it is they want to do. It's a doll world, right? But for them, that's the natural thing. Whereas in our world today, this patriarchy, it's like it's natural for non-melanated men to be the standard. And it's just not true, right? So as a black man, I see that like, yeah, so you're not that guy. You're not the end all be all. Like I understand this industry and I know this space as well. So those comparisons and those contradictions were really, it was really to see, really cool to see in a colorful, theatrical type way.
Well, and you know, the messages about confidence, and then we saw when the Barbies lost their confidence and then they regained it back. That to me is one of the reasons why this movie is a keeper for me, because mm-hmm. although our 10-year-old isn't getting it now, there's going to come a point in life where it's all going to make sense to her.
Right.
And we can always cue up the movie and watch it again and then get some real feedback on, right, well, now what do you think about this movie?
Well, and I think it was a literal comparison of a Barbie doll compared to what her favorites are, LOL dolls.
Yeah.
And so because there were no LOLs in this movie, it's like, you know, it didn't do anything for her.
Nothing.
And just kind of like, yeah, but I like LOLs, right? Like Barbie's arms only move a certain way and her feet only move a certain way, which were elements of the movie. Mm-hmm. And so all of those things I thought were really good.
Well, you know, one other thing that didn't move me, and I might be taking a serious risk to say this, mm-mm. but the you know, back in the day, the Aqua song, I'm a Barbie Girl.
Yes.
Well, so there was a remake of that song at the end with Nicki Minaj and Ice Spice. And,
well, yeah. So you go into this movie not knowing, as we already talked about, not knowing what it's going to be about. So it's not like it was a lot of older women going to see it. It was people, older women, bringing daughters and granddaughters and nieces and whatnot. So you go through what we just talked about and the colors and the vibrancy and the dialogue and the message. And then it's kind of like you have that feel good moment and then the closing song comes on. It's like, so we just did all that and we drop a B word on ourselves. Like the
right.
Like what?
Like, where was the radio edit for the end of the movie? Right. I would have so, it literally made me cringe to hear that at the end of the movie after I just cried and laughed and did all this stuff and felt good and cheered on the Barbies when, you know, when they got their government back and whatnot. And right. then that to happen, I'm just like, seriously?
Well, so like with anything else in that movie, as you'll probably read through IMDb, that there's intentionality in what they do, right? So when you go to an artist and say, hey, we want you to come up with something to take us out, right? And this is what they propose. Like people had to have agreed upon that. So I don't understand it enough to say that having the lyrics in that song like they did didn't put a bow on the movie. It was a detractor, right? It didn't like seal something where you like, yeah, you know, like an Avengers Endgame with a powerful theme that like you know, you got this vibe and the hair stand up on the back of your neck. It was like you're going out with that message, and the outro is playing, and then it's like, what? Like, why? What was that necessary? Like,
right?
It wasn't needed.
And I would hate to think that these ladies couldn't make a song without referring to another female as a bee.
Right.
I would like to think that they are talented enough, creative enough, that they couldn't have come up with some other way, even if they only played the part of the song that didn't have it in there on the for the actual movie.
Right. Yeah, well, like you said, a radio edit to where you play that part, close out the movie, you go get the album, the musical presentation of the show. And then it says, hey, we got a explicit lyric on this particular song. So now I have a choice as to purchase that, or if I stream it or download it on whatever my streaming services are, I have a choice to say, oh, well, let me see what this raunchy version is. Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad. I'll take it. Or, yeah, I could do without that. Right? Like, it was served up to you at the theater.
Well, but all in all, it's a winner for me.
Two thumbs up. You got to get back to your Siskel and Ebert.
Okay, two thumbs up. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully if you haven't seen the movie, that we didn't spoil it too much for you and that you'll still go out and see it. And I'd love to know what your thoughts are, you know? What did you think? Did you like it? Didn't you like it? You know, what complaints do you have about it?
I say tell the truth and shame the devil. You know we're right. Just go and admit it. Go ahead and watch it. Come back in her comments and let her know, like, you was right. Say it just like that, too. You was right.
You know where to find me on Instagram and the platform formerly known as Twitter.
It's called Malcolm X now.
That we just call X.
Oh, it's just X, not Malcolm.
No.
I'm going to call him Malcolm X. Black Twitter going to call him Malcolm X.
Yeah, Black Twitter. Go figure. Anyway, you know where to find me at Hey Yvette. That's at HeyEvette. Or just look for the hashtag Tweet Trends. And yeah, definitely let me know what your thoughts are on this one. I'd love to know. Until next time.
Fare thee well. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being a part of it.